Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Kevin Walsh. Throughout today, I'll certainly be joined, hopefully at some point, by Aaron Dolan as well, as today marks the official beginning. I know we had some games yesterday, but now it is time for the round of 64 in March Madness. The wait has been long. Over 2 years for us to get this thing going. It is a very, very exciting time here to follow all of this action. The South and Midwest regions getting us going today, and we will be breaking down all of those games, plus the round of 64 games that are going to be taking place on Saturday. A couple of dogs catching the eye, and of course, a couple of overs catching the eye as well. But we did set the stage just last night with that first four. And if this wasn't a wake-up call, if this wasn't a reminder, well, then I just don't know what is. You had Mount St. Mary's up on Texas Southern in the first game by 10. As the slight favorite, well, they lose the game by 8. Texas Southern now moving on. They'll have a date with Michigan. A lot of these games were close. Heck, Drake was a 2-point favorite. They won and didn't cover, but the main event was that UCLA-Michigan State game. We are already getting overtime matches. There were only four games yesterday. Two of them were decided by one, and another went to overtime. It was phenomenal stuff. We will break all of those games down, the implications, as four of these teams now moving on to the round of 64. They're going to be playing on Saturday. In other news, in the NFL, free agency continuing. The Miami Dolphins strengthening up their wide receiver room by bringing in Will Fuller, who was off a career season for the Houston Texans, one of the lone bright spots for a team that has certainly had a down year. Obviously, a difficult offseason right now for the Texans. A career high in receptions, in yards, and touchdowns. Only played the 11 games. And this time for Will Fuller, he didn't even get hurt. It was the suspension. He's going to miss the opening game for the Dolphins next season. Impossible not to see this move. Think about conversations with Watson for Tua and picks and think, well, maybe one day, maybe Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson will get to do it all again down in South Beach. How about an MMA? Last night, a big piece of news that I know is somewhat already existed, but we all know that Dana White was holding out until this was official, to the point where he is the only person, I guess, that could truly make this official. Last night, Dana White tweeting out 29-0, it is. He is 100% officially retired. Speaking, of course, of unbeaten world champion Khabib Nurmagomedov, just a dominant career, a legitimate claim to the greatest fighter of all time. 29-0, unblemished, dominated this sport. Yes, personally, would have loved to seen him and Conor get it on again. But when you consider how the last one ended, for a number of reasons, maybe it's better off that we don't. A legitimate, clear Hall of Famer one day for the UFC, and just an absolute star and a force in that sport. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold as well. Appreciate everybody checking in here on a Friday morning to the Early Line. Kevin Walsh with you right now, Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio. A March Madness Friday, a round of 64 Friday. Going to get into those games in just a moment, but want to recap some of the action that we saw last night in the NBA, and we'll open things up with the Wizards and the Jazz. Washington getting a huge result. They haven't had one of these in a while, and they do it behind Bradley Beal's 40 3 points. Westbrook chips in 35, 15, and 13. Vintage Russ. Quite clearly, they go as Russ goes. The Jazz, maybe the bigger storyline here. Another game in which they give up 130 points. Where has the defense gone for this team? Only a 1.5 game lead on the Lakers for that top spot right now in the Western Conference, and it felt like they were going to run away and hide. Part of that reason, well, the Lakers are red hot. 4 games since the All-Star break, 4 wins, 4 covers. This is a team that you want to be backing right now in the LA Lakers. They beat the Charlotte Hornets 116-105, and they do it behind the Kings, 37 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. He was sensational, as he has been now since that All-Star break, had consecutive triple-doubles, and swings it in here now against the Charlotte Hornets with 37, the second most points that he scored in a game on this season. The only game he had more was a 46 spot on Cleveland. Begs the question, are we nearing the point LeBron flips to minus money in that MVP market? How much more time do you have to make those LeBron bets at plus money? Only a game and a half off the Jazz for the best record in the NBA. Still no Anthony Davis. We've come to accept it. They still win. They still cover. An impressive job. Another big result last night in the NBA. I know it's not the sexiest game, but the Atlanta Hawks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder quite convincingly, 116-93, their 7th straight win. Nate McMillan is 7-0 as the head coach for the Atlanta Hawks, really getting themselves in a nice position in the Eastern Conference. So those are your top headlines, but when we come back, we now start to really crack into this round of 64. We'll open things up by recapping, though, what happened in the first 4. Dogs ruling the night. We'll talk about it all here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh with the guys here on a Friday morning. Let's talk a little bit about the first 4 and just want to take a step back again from these games. There is a lesson learned, or maybe just reiterated is the better way to put it. As we break into March, yes, there's going to be plenty of upsets, and money line plays probably are wiser than ever. But do not leave points on the table, no matter how small it is. I don't care if it's 1.5. Honestly, I don't even care if it's 1. I don't want to push. Why? Why? You can get your money back if you push. Look at these games last night. Texas Southern, a dog, down double digits at the break. They come back and win by 8. Drake gets the job done by 1 point. Norfolk State gets the job done by 1 point. And UCLA and Michigan State play an awesome, awesome game. If you had Michigan State, maybe not as awesome, and they go into overtime. The points are going to matter. Don't be the person at home. I can't believe I had UNC Greensboro money line and I left those points on the table. You don't want to leave the points on the table. These games are close. These games are tight. Had a stat yesterday given to me by my guy Donnie Wrightside, who I do in-play sports tonight with on SiriusXM channel 204, 7 to 10 Eastern time here on this network. Said over the last, I believe it was 10 years, 23% of the time, these games are decided by either 1, 2, 3 points or goes to overtime. One possession games constantly, okay? And that was the case for 3 out of the 4 games last night. Don't just leave points on the table and say, oh, there's no way those 2 points come into play. It happened last night. The 2 points came into play. Let's talk about the games, though, quickly. Texas Southern advances over Mount St. Mary's as a 1-point dog, gets now themselves a date with Michigan ultimately, I've said this, you know, here on the show plenty of times. I don't think we're going to see a 16 seed win probably for a decade. Again, guys, it took forever for this to happen the first time. I don't think this is going to be a regular occurrence. I'm sure some 16 seeds now believe more than they ever have before. Similarly, though, I think one seeds will be on a higher alert than they ever have been before. So all in all, Texas Southern, a great result for this team. They probably let this thing be a little bit closer than they needed to with their 10 of 19 performance from the line, but Mount St. Mary's was even worse at 8 of 16. I mean, you are not beating the best teams in the country, shooting sub 55% from the line, but a gutty win there from Texas Southern, and it really set the tone for the day. Quickly, the other 16 versus 16 matchup in Norfolk State, App State. Goodness me, did this define madness. Norfolk State up by as much as 19 points in this game. At the break, were live 10.5 point favorites. They were up 36-20, and they proceed to be down in the second half. App State, the pregame 3.5-point favorite, all of a sudden in the driver's seat. The stat that I still don't know if I can wrap my mind around was App State at the half was 0-for-18 from beyond the arc. I mean, that is almost impossible. So you see that 6 of 36. Yeah, they just came out and kept firing in the second half as well, put another 18 threes up on the board, made 6 of them in the second half, had themselves in front, but another impressive performance from Norfolk State to close the deal there as 3.5-point underdogs. They'll meet Gonzaga. They're going to be 33.5-point dogs in that game. Not maybe really new territory for Gonzaga, probably more so than the rest of these one seeds as well. They're used to laying mammoth numbers. Norfolk State, though, they're going to be believing in themselves, right? Similarly, Texas Southern catching 26 against Michigan. The Wolverines, a lot of people believe, the most vulnerable of the one seeds, vulnerable enough to take plus 26 with Texas Southern? Quite possibly. Let's talk 11s here. Goodness me, Drake, Wichita State, what was this? I mean, score was 21-20 at the half. The kind of game that, as it's developing, if you were someone that planned on backing the Trojans, the USC Trojans, who Drake is going to go on to play, you're sitting there saying, well, I better be ready to click the immediate opening line, because who could want to back either one of these teams coming off of this game? I mean, it was just gross. It was just terrible. One of the really interesting things here, as this line continued to move to Drake, they were dogs. And there might be people who had Drake at plus, you know, 1.5, plus 1, maybe, you know, again, those plus 105 tickets, certainly there. As they continue to move, and get to about 2.5-point favorites, some of that having to do with their leading scorer, Shaquan Hemphill, coming back for this group. Hemphill pretty much a non-factor here. Only 1 of 3 from the floor and scored 3 points. Joseph Yesfu, who some would say robbed of a hero of the night on this very show, has really stepped up, not only in the Hemphill injury, but Roman Penn, who was the leading point guard for Drake, goes out there, takes 21 of the team's 53 shots, scores 21 points, was their lead man, and broke them out of the funk that they were in on multiple occasions. I mean, they would have, I don't know if they would have got to 30, it feels like, without Yesfu. I know that he did, you know, they had 30 without him, but still, he was creating so many of the opportunities for this team. He'll be a pesky matchup in that next round for the USC Trojans to deal with. Wichita State, of course, will be gutted themselves. A 3 of 18 shooting performance from beyond the arc, and 11 of 22 performance from the line. Free throw shooting. Not good enough there from Wichita State. And then how about the main event? And boy, did it deliver. UCLA, Michigan State, the only over of this day. Now, it went to overtime, but it didn't need overtime to cash it. There were 77 points before we went to overtime. That total was about 134, so it cashed with comfort. This is a game of all the teams that took a loss here. I got to imagine Michigan State is going to be the most frustrated because they blew a 14-point lead. They're coached by Tom Izzo. They have that pedigree, the Big Ten bias, the best conference of all time, people wonder. And they allow this game to go to overtime. You know, Jaime Jaquez, with an awesome performance, 11 of 20 from the floor, puts up 27 points, goes to the line, misses a free throw, and they don't rebound, and then allow Jaquez to get a layup in and foul on the layup, which notched this thing up at 77. All the 3 points that they scored in overtime was putrid. I mean, it was horrendous from Michigan State. A real look in the mirror kind of performance, I think, for Tom Izzo and his guys. They salvaged the year. They got themselves into the NCAA tournament. Wins over Michigan. Wins over Ohio State, Illinois. For what? To lose to UCLA. A lot of people right now have UCLA in the Sweet 16 in their bracket, but they thought they were going to lose this game, just kind of moving them along, expecting that Michigan State was going to be the team. But it is the UCLA Bruins. They're going to draw themselves BYU in that round of 64. No line yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, possibly because Johnny Uzang, the leading scorer for UCLA, had 23 points, rolls the ankle before this one goes final in overtime. Some big injury news that we will have to keep tabs on as we get closer to that game, which will be taking place on Saturday. But let's do it. Let's crack into it. Massive, massive slate of games here. We'll break them all down on the early line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Kevin Walsh as we break down today's round of 64 games. I mean, is that exciting or what? Struggling to sleep last night, really was. And maybe that's just because I like to stay up late. But I think some of it had to do with breaking these games down and just getting all kinds of fired up about it. The action starting around noon here on the East Coast. Imagine West Coast living for those of you out there on the West. Wake up, maybe a bacon, egg, and cheese, assuming they have them out there on the West. I would think so. Never know. Feels like a whole different country over there, many, many moons away. A little bacon, egg, and cheese, a little Va-Tech Florida. Get your day started. Can't be mad at that. And we're going to talk about Virginia Tech and Florida in a moment. I just wanted to mention, you can bet the outright winner of the South region, which is where we'll begin our preview today. This is just another way to say to make the Final Four, but they've sectioned it off. I prefer this. I like this. It's a little bit neater, and you can kind of now follow along who you like coming out of each region of the bracket. Baylor, of course, your favorite, at plus 110. Ohio State, the two seed, is plus 370. An interesting thing that catches the eye is Texas Tech being your second option on, or third option rather, on the board, despite being the sixth seed in the South. Arkansas is the three. They come in at four. How about the fact that North Carolina, the eighth seed, checks in here, tied for the fifth best odds? Is some of that possibly because if UNC beat Baylor, they would all of a sudden now be viewed as maybe the team to beat? I mean, I think that's a pretty interesting thing to try and follow and figure out how you want to play, who comes out of the South. We'll talk about that. But let's do a little game by game, shall we? And we're going to open things up today in the South region. We're going to open things up today with Virginia Tech and Florida. And this line has been on the move. A 7-10 that sees the 10, the favorite. Va-Tech laying 1 point on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 112 money line, 135. 135 is your total. Again, lessons learned from yesterday. If you are a Florida backer, Take the point. $8 is worth it. It just is. You get a push, good, okay? And if you like Virginia Tech, don't save yourself $6 and lay one. And then to get a push, that's crazy. You play that money line at minus 112. This line, though, again, has been on the move. Florida opened up as the favorite here, and things have started to shape around to the Virginia Tech side, which makes me feel better because that's the side that I like in this game as well. Let's talk a little bit about Florida, the 7. This is a group that I've probably watched more of than I would have thought, certainly maybe more than the rest of these 7s. Watch a decent amount of SEC basketball. They've lost 3 of their last 4 games, covering in none of their final 4. And for this Florida team, yes, they have an impressive ceiling. They had a win over Tennessee at one point in the year. Man, where it was like, oh, wow, this Florida team, crazy, crazy dangerous. But all in all, I come away unimpressed by this group. And I initially saw that line and said, wow, we got to move this thing. I think it's got to be Virginia Tech. And that's where it is now. Here's the scene with VaTech. They played on February 6th. And then didn't take the court again until February 24th. A monster delay. They're not new. Tons of teams had big time delays. They came off of that, though, having to play Georgia Tech. Yes, they were favorites. And yes, they lost the game by 16. But Georgia Tech won the ACC Conference Tournament. And you also have to understand here, that's that first game back. We saw Baylor play an Iowa State team in their first game back, and that was difficult. So really, really impressed that they came back against Wake. Yeah, Wake is bad, but they won that game by almost 40 points. Then another COVID pause took them out for a little less than 2 weeks. They played UNC. They won the first half. Very, very impressive there to me still to have that game be competitive. I like VaTech here to get the day rolling. Let's keep moving down this board. Arkansas, Colgate. I love this one. This is a very fun game. Now we'll see if I love it when it goes final. All right, we'll see if I love it when it goes final. But it is a fun one to break down. And Colgate has started to move, okay? Find themselves currently as 8.5-point dogs on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They were 9.5 yesterday when I was breaking this down. Here's why Colgate is so fascinating to me. This is a team that's laid double digits in 8 of their last 10 games. I mean, you've got a team that has their usual point spread about 20 points removed from where it is now, almost catching double digits here in the game. On the year, 10-5 against the number, and they were rolling in their conference tournament. This is a high-octane offense, coming in, though, to play a Razorbacks team that can also really, really impress on the offensive side of the basketball. It's been one of the hottest teams in the country, okay? Before their loss to LSU in the SEC Conference Tournament, they had won 9 games in a row, 12 of their last 13. That 9-game winning streak ripped off an 8-1 against the spread run there as well. So winning and covering, that's what you like to see. The fascinating thing with Arkansas, and this is pure luck, okay? How do you know who's going to win all these low-level conferences? You don't. But they have themselves reps against this kind of opponent, okay? They played Oral Roberts, a 15, North Texas, a 13, and Abilene Christian, a 14. 3 comparable teams. Again, when you consider the seed lines here, Arkansas won all of those games by double digits. I initially saw this point spread, thought I wanted to take the 9.5 with Colgate, but I think Arkansas is the side. I think Arkansas is the side. Colgate is 14-1, but they've played nobody. Nobody that lands inside the top 75 in net. So to me, the Razorbacks with comparable opponents under the belt, and these were all earlier in the year before the Razorbacks really hit their stride, they have what it takes to win this game by double digits. It's a tight one. It's a fun one. I'm very excited for it, but I do believe that Arkansas is the side. Let's keep it pushing here. Utah State and Texas Tech in the 6-11. We just talked about Tech. Despite being the 6 coming out of the Big 12, they have the 3rd best odds to come out of the South. according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. A total of 131, very low, understandably with these two squads. A four-point spread that Texas Tech is laying here to Utah State. Utah State has quality reps. Okay, this isn't your typical mid-major. Ah, who have they played? You have to have quality reps to get the 11 as a team like Utah State. Two games against San Diego State, who has a 6 in this tournament. And again, they're playing a 6 here, so comparable matchups. They were 2-1 against them. And they were 2-1 against Colorado State. They did lose to VCU. They did lose to BYU. So when you look at those, again, opponents here, they have tournament reps under the belt. Not in the case of a team that we just talked about in, say, Colgate, where they don't. In comes Texas Tech out of the Big 12, right? And I value the Big 12. I think that the Big 12 has been slided in the conversation for best conference in the country, okay? But they were swept by Kansas, Baylor, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State. They were swept by all four of those squads. Yes, they were able to take down Oklahoma tight. Texas close, lost to Texas in their first game in the Big 12 Conference Championship. It's a tough spot for me when you look at this Texas Tech team who now enters this game here not covering in 7 of their last 10. I don't think I can feel confident saying, oh, well, Texas Tech is playing their best basketball. They're not playing their best basketball right now. The step up in competition at times for them in conference just didn't go their way. This is a game. This is a classic example of what I've been talking about and what I'll continue to hammer home here on today's early line. All right? Utah State is very live in this game. Very live in this game. I'm going to take the 4 points. You're home. You're filling out your bracket. You're going to move Utah State along. No problem. I think I'm going to do the same. Little spoiler alert there for those who are going to be, you know, in this Sports Grid March Madness bracket. What's KW doing? He's moving Utah State along. I like Utah State. But betting this game on the side, you want to sprinkle money line? Good. Split up your units. Do not leave those 4 points on the table. By the way, these are a couple of under teams. 5 straight unders for Utah State, and 5 of the last 7 games for Texas Tech has found their way under the number. Also, let's sneak another South game in here. Maybe my favorite game from a betting perspective on the board. Oral Roberts, Ohio State. Love a good total that checks in at 157. Moved up from 156.5 last night. Point spread of 16. Here's why I like a team like Oral Roberts here, okay? They have reps against real teams. Real reps against real squads. They have played 5 tournament teams. Only once did they lose by more than 16, and it was their first game of the season against Mizzou. Played Oklahoma State, only lost by 5, right? They played the Sooners, kept it in check, okay? Lost by 14. Arkansas, by 11. They kept it in check when they still had to take a step up in competition. Oral Roberts and what they can do on the offensive side of the basketball should keep this game close. They are 9-3 against the number as a dog, covered in 7 of their last 9 games. I think this is a good spot to take the points with Oral Roberts. We'll continue to break down the South and the rest of the games on the board right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Channel 204. Thank you, Kevin, for holding down the fort. I am back in. We had some tech issues earlier in the show, trying to get things rolling here, but we'll stick with the South region for college hoops, starting off with number 1 Baylor versus number 16 Hartford. So, Baylor, let me just read some accolades. So, the Bears have 8 quad 1 wins. They clinched the Big 12 regular season championship for the first time in 71 years. But Baylor's 3-week COVID break at the beginning of February gave the Bears their only 2 losses of the season against Kansas and Oklahoma State. Regardless, the Bears had the best defensive backcourt in the country. Now, this is Hartford Hart's first trip to the NCAA tournament. So I expect a blowout. Bears ranked third in the country in scoring as well, 84.4 points per game. Right now, they are laying 25.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the largest spread aside from Gonzaga on the board today with a total at 140. Now, you can't really take this team, Baylor, on the money line because they're not going to have great value. You don't want to put them in a parlay either because that's not going to be great value. Hartford could have trouble given that they lack size and shooting. So I would lean under 140 in this game. Plus, if Baylor gets that big lead, they might slow up a tad in that second half.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. Hartford's been an under team on the season, 15-8 to the under on the year. The reality is early season Baylor rolls Hartford in a way that they might not even come out for the second half. To open the season, Baylor laid 20 or more in six games. They covered in five of them. There was a game that they laid 43 points in and covered by double digits. I mean, early season Baylor murders this team. However, their last two instances of laying 20 or more, no cover for the Baylor Bears. But the circumstances were different. They were laying 24 to Iowa State, first game back from a COVID pause. And that's just too many points to lay in your first game back from a COVID pause. It just is. They still won the game. They laid 20 in the first game of the conference tournament against Kansas State. All right, we probably shouldn't be laying 20 in conference tournament games. That lesson was certainly learned. I go back in fourth year because 25.5 is a lot, but I don't know if it's going to feel like a lot when Baylor is up by 30 at the half. You want to lay a lighter number in the first half? No qualms with that. But I'm going to take the Baylor Bears, who I think can win this entire thing, to get hot, Aaron, and cover a 25.5 point spread.
Yeah, what's interesting is obviously that they have that 25.5 point spread. That's not surprising. I just personally feel that in some of these games with Baylor, let's say Gonzaga, I don't feel comfortable even laying those points because just God forbid in that second half that they do want to take their foot off the brake a little bit. I just don't really feel comfortable in those types of situations. I feel like some of these other games, considering last night we had, you know, four underdogs cash, there could be some upsets. So maybe we look at teams that are closer in seeding. For example, number 8 UNC versus number 9 Wisconsin. So the Tar Heels are the best offensive rebounding team in the country, leading the nation by grabbing 41% of misses. UNC fell short to Florida State in the ACC tournament by 3. But before that, they were on a 3-game winning streak, beating Duke, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. And it's all about heating up at the right time in March Madness, and UNC has been heating up. The Badgers, meanwhile, have only won 4 of their past 12 games heading into the Big Ten tournament, but Wisconsin has 5 seniors who are versatile and know that they have some veteran experience here. Some believe that Wisconsin overall was underseeded, given that the Big Ten is pretty strong this year. In terms of a betting perspective, the Tar Heels are 4-0-1 against the spread in their last 5 neutral site games as favorites, and the Badgers are 0-3-1 against the spread in their previous games in neutral venues. I lean to the Badgers here. I want to see this upset with North Carolina having advanced to the Sweet 16 or further in 4 of their past 5 tournament appearances. Over 60% of the money and bets are on UNC, but some money is starting to come in on the Badgers, so I like the Badgers in this spot. I also like over 137.5 because if that line continues to come down because people keep betting the under, so I feel like now that it keeps coming down, it's time to start betting the over.
Yeah, I love the buyback there on the total, Aaron. I think it's a good way to play it. It's kind of respecting the odds makers and their initial numbers. All right, maybe it was initially set too high, but maybe now it's come down too low. The interesting thing is, and anybody who's ever heard me talk about the notes that I keep here from time to time knows that they can get quite animated. You know, I'll put things in caps. There's curse words. I hate both of these teams. Like, my biggest takeaway is that I think Baylor beats either one of them by, like, double digits, and I don't even think twice about it. Wisconsin is 0-9 versus the Big Ten teams that claimed top 4 seeds or better, and overall 3-10 against tournament teams. I was very happy to see that as I was going to make my UNC pick with comfort. But, of course, UNC... Okay, 8 of their 10 losses to tournament teams as well. They beat 3 tournament teams. The only real difference here is that UNC at least beat Florida State, a team worth something. And they were down at half at home in that game as well, which made it all the more puzzling. These are just a couple of teams with tough resumes. Made me question everybody else. Made me question KenPom a little bit. The guy's a genius. I know he knows his stuff. How Wisconsin is 11th. I'm starting to turn heel against the Big Ten. I can't deal with this. It's crazy that Wisconsin could somehow be 11th. The separator for me is just how they're playing coming into the tournament. UNC has won 6 out of their last 9. Wisconsin has lost 6 out of their last 9. I know Wisconsin likes to slow the pace down, maximize, or make it really difficult to have a game with a ton of possessions, but UNC, with their bigs, Brooks, Baycott, they create a lot of extra possessions. They crash the glass. I know Wisconsin's not Notre Dame, but goodness me, watch that Notre Dame game. They created a bazillion extra possessions here. I like UNC, Aaron. I understand the love for Wisconsin, but I'm going to take the Tar Heels in this spot. They're minus 124 money line. Again, do not just lay 1.5 blindly. The $14 is worth leaving that 1.5 off the table.
Yeah, a lot of people are going with UNC, which is why I'm taking the Badgers. Obviously, on paper, UNC, they're heating up. It makes sense for everyone to take them, but that's why I'm going with the opposite. I'm honestly just being devil's advocate. Obviously, again, on paper, UNC seems to be the team. Let's move on. Number five, Villanova versus number 12, Winthrop. So Winthrop is 1-10 all time in the NCAA tournament, but don't be fooled. The Eagles play fast, put up points, and have depth and quality wings. The Wildcats are without Colin Gillespie, arguably the best leader in the country. He went down this season with a torn MCL. Since leaving the Wildcats, Villanova has been shooting 27.6% from the three-point line and have slowed down while Winthrop plays at a top 10 pace. Villanova is the safe pick here. Winthrop is the risk. So I'm going to take the risk here, of course, since it's March Madness. Winthrop over the shorthanded Villanova Wildcats. Give me Winthrop money line. I'm taking the upset here despite Nova laying 6.5 in the total at 143.
Not mad at it, Aaron. A lot of people ready to pick on Nova. I hate this game. Oh, I despise it. Impossible to figure out what to do here. Winthrop, for all the trendiness, makes all the sense in the world. A team that is 23-1, only one rep against a tournament team, another lower-seeded squad in UNC Greensboro, but they won that game as a dog by 4. 23-1 is just nothing to scoff at, and they were scorching earth in their conference tournament games, winning by 29, 21, and 33. Just no respect for their opponents, rolling them. Nova, 2 reps without Colin Gillespie, 0-2. That's really, really difficult, right? Because you know that Nova has a pedigree. You know that Jay Wright has won 50% of the last NCAA tournaments that we've played. But now 2 losses without Gillespie makes this difficult. The thing is, the 2 losses were by 2 to Providence and by 1 to Georgetown. They weren't blown out. They weren't ran off the page here. I think the side's very difficult. I'll throw out a total, and I think it's an under. 5-0-1 for Winthrop to the under in their last 6. Nova's gone over 4 times in their last 6. And the 2 times they went over, it cashed by a combined 6.5 points. If it goes over, it is just squeaking over. I'll play the under. I think the side is a complete mess here. Great cases for both. I think you're on the right side, probably, though, Aaron, at the minimum, taking the 6.5 points.
Yeah, a lot of people are on Winthrop. I feel like on that side of the bracket, people are expecting some more upsets. Of course, I just gave you 2. I gave you Wisconsin, and then I also gave you Winthrop. Let's move on here. Number 4, Purdue, the Boilermakers versus number 13, North Texas, the Mean Green. So the Mean Green are solid defensively. They can turn the ball over too much, but the ball is when it is secure, they can score from multiple spots. Meanwhile, the Boilermakers have one of the toughest big men in the country in Trevion Williams. Plus, very few teams have a 7'4 freshman to bring in off the bench like Zach Edey and Sane. Purdue ranks 4th in Big Ten defense, yielding just 66.3 points per game. The Boilermakers own solid efficiency numbers on both ends of the floor and are a well-rounded team on the boards. And with the Mean Green under cashing 15-0 in the team's 25 games, I think I have to go under 126 here. I see this being a very low-scoring game. Purdue to cover the 7.5, I think, could easily happen. I have Purdue going to the Elite Eight in my bracket, so maybe you want to take that. I just think this game, to me, screams under, given that, one, they're both good defensively, and also I understand it is low at 126, but that's the way I lean.
Yeah, no, look, low totals are low for a reason. Just yesterday in the NBA, we talked about that Knicks Magic game, a 202.5 total. Once again, they didn't get the 200 points. Low totals are low for a reason. On the side, I will take Purdue. North Texas, 3 games against conference against NCAA tournament teams, Loyola, Chicago, Arkansas, West Virginia. They lost all of the games by eight or more. They lost to Arkansas and West Virginia by double digits. Purdue playing their best basketball to end the season. That is something that we're very used to saying for lower seeds because they had to win conference tournaments. But it's true for Purdue, who's a four. It's why they're dangerous. It's why Aaron thinks that they can make a legitimate run down to the Elite Eight. Purdue right now won five games in a row before just that overtime loss to Ohio State. Only twice did they lose to non-tournament teams this year. Minnesota and Miami, respectable squads. Both of those games are on the road. You got to be good if you're going to take down the Boilermakers. I don't think North Texas is good enough. Give me Purdue. I will lay the 7.5 points, Aaron.
Interesting, interesting. All right, now that we've covered the South region, let's get into the Midwest. So this is almost like a superhero region. We have Illinois facing off against Drexel. So Illinois is on a 7-game win streak. That includes victories over Michigan, Ohio State twice, Iowa, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. Illinois is one of the best defensive teams in the nation. I mean, how can you even compare this team to Drexel? I mean, they are laying an insane spread, 22.5. Now, Drexel is in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1996. I was in my mother's womb the last time this team made the tournament. The Dragons were the 6th seed in the Colonial Tournament and won at Drexel's 12-7. But it was not blown out in a single game. Honestly, I don't think it matters whether they were blown out or not. They haven't faced a team like Iowa. They are 5-0 against the spread on a neutral floor, meaning Drexel. But again, Illinois. Drexel is 5-0 against the spread on a neutral floor. When playing Illinois, though, they haven't played a team like that. So all around, I'm going with Illinois. But I don't want to lay this big number, 22.5. Maybe you look at the total, 143.5. But I also think that's a little bit too high. I don't want to take too many unders. But just given that, I think that Illinois can score majority of the points, but will they score that many?
Yeah, look, I think Illinois could score 100 in this game. Illinois, their first two games of the season, really only context that we have for them laying numbers comparable to this 22.5. First game of the year, they laid 29.5, Aaron. They won the game by 62 points. The second game of the year, they laid 42.5. Won the game by 59 points. I mean, you have to be kidding me that this team laid 30, mid-40s, and still covered by double digits. Now, they're not, you know, they're playing a better squad here in Drexel, but Illinois is playing their best ball of the season. Goodness me. Winners of 6 in a row, playing elite teams, covered in 5 of those 6 games. They got a legitimate case to be the best team in the tournament. I know you think Illinois is going to go very, very far, Aaron. I'll lay the 22.5. I think Illinois rolls. I like the over as well. I think they're going to score probably close to 100.
All right, stick with us here, guys, on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to break down some more games in the different regions. Thanks so much for joining us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. We're going to get a little bit into the Midwest region right now. Number eight, Loyola Chicago versus number 9, Georgia Tech. This is going to be an interesting one, Kev. So the Ramblers enter on a 6-game win streak, and they covered each of their 3 games in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament after closing the regular season on a 1-6 against the spread skid. Loyola went 2-2 straight up and against the spread in their last 4 games against opponents in the tournament this season. Loyola is the number 1 ranked defense in the nation from an efficiency standpoint. The Ramblers are very together and difficult to score upon. That leads to wins, of course, and Loyola has won 21 of their past 23 games. Now, I have Georgia Tech winning this game, but of course, this was before I found out that they were without Moses Wright, the ACC Player of the Year and the team's leading scorer. The Yellow Jackets are aggressive, going for steals and block shots, but will that be enough? Loyola right now laying 4.5 with a total at 123.5. I went with Georgia Tech, and I wish I had known all this information until now. I kind of feel like Loyola could get a ton. I made my pick on Sunday night, and had I known that, I would not have gone with Georgia Tech. I think Loyola actually does get it done, despite my bracket saying otherwise.
You know what, Aaron? I wouldn't be so fast to move off Georgia Tech. Loyola Chicago talked a lot about it. Checks in top 10 in KenPom. And again, the rest of the top 10 are all the 10 best teams in the country, and then Loyola Chicago. The efficiency metrics that you mentioned, love this team. But the resume does check out for them being about an 8 seed. They played Drake three times. They went 2-1 versus them. Played Richmond, an NIT team. They lost by 2. And they played Wisconsin, a 9 seed, and lost by 14. Those are the reps against, you know, legitimate squads. Those are the reps. Anybody knocked off their seat by that? Not me. Not overwhelmed by that. Georgia Tech comes into this red hot. Winners of 8 in a row, the ACC Conference Tournament Champions. They've beaten 3 teams during this run. They're 8-4 against the number as a dog. Aaron, let's take some points here. Let's back a dog. Let's back a dog. I can't believe I'm telling EKD to back a dog. Let's back a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket squad plus the 5.5. Let's do it.
Loyola Chicago is also going to have Sister Jean, so maybe that would be a little bit of luck there. But we'll get into more things after the break, and we'll break down more of these regions. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.